This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. It's funny, and more than a couple people have said this to me. Starting a new pastoral ministry during Advent is kind of perfect. Because people are going to be waiting to figure you out, and you're going to be waiting to figure them out, and you're all waiting for Jesus, so you might as well do it together. And I'm glad for that. I don't see it as any lack of too much irony and all that. But the sermon for this first midweek, you'll see, is according to our gospel text, Mark 13. And as we see, as first candle is lit, we're prepared. St. John's waits in hope. As we hear the word of God, let's hear it. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, and then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. St. Mark's account is really an all too brief summary of the words of Jesus. But do you hear the depths of the emotion in these words? As Jesus looks forward, according to his omniscience, the earlier tragedy will merge into the latter one. The judgment upon Jerusalem is carried out only in a greater scale in the final judgment of the world. You'll notice Jesus never leaves us wanting. When he speaks to us, he speaks to us now and the not yet. Remember, he's not just sitting on the mountain going, "Here it comes." He always speaks to us to say, "Here we are, my children, my sheep, and here we are going." So never forget, he always sets your bearings, and then he shows you where he's going to take you. So there is a sense of the here and now and the sense of the that will be. There will be no interval of a happy, sinless reign. Had the most interesting conversation with this person about saying that, you know, they're all scared about, you know, some of the good people being pulled up and all the bad people left behind. And we've all read those books. They're nonsense. And I'm sitting there listening to him going, "Man, you have done a really good job of freaking yourself out. You are so scared that all the good people are going to be taken. The only smart thing you said is that you're going to be left behind because you're not a good person. On this we agree. But if you go looking for good people, you'll find them in Bed Bath & Beyond. In the Beyond section, next to unicorns and leprechauns. For there is no one as good, not one, except the Lord himself." And he's looking at me going, "What do you mean?" I'm a Lutheran. I will expound upon this. Because there is this worry that Jesus only speaks to us like a fortune teller at the public market in Seattle. Somebody that says, "Oh, tomorrow things are going to be crazy. I don't know about today. I don't know. Today's too crazy," because you can check on that too easily. "But in 50 years from now," right? They're always really good at saying that. But Jesus speaks to us now also. So there will be signs like nothing seen in nature. No ordinary eclipses, which follow laws and rules framed by God, but a return to chaos. The sun will be darkened. The moon will lose her splendor. The stars will no longer be able to hold the position given them by the Creator. The stars will fall from heaven. There will be a great collision of the powers of the heavens. The entire universe will go out of joint. The hand of God's providence and rule will be withdrawn, and all will be dissolved into pieces. And then when the world is falling to pieces and the heavens are being rolled up like a curtain. Now, many people might have a hard time saying, yes. Thank you, Lord. This is exactly what I was waiting for. Not going to lie, that's actually more scary than the stuff the dude was making up. More likely, you won't be jumping up and down, but there is truth into saying, this is what I do hope for. One of my, not classmates, because he preceded me by a couple of decades, but one of my colleagues said to me last year, and it kind of stuck with me, Advent is the season where we're praying we don't celebrate Christmas. And I'm going, what? And he told me, because if we are waiting for Christ, and if we mean it, if we're not waiting to open presents under a tree, if we're waiting for Jesus, we're going, and now it's fine. And now it's fine. And December 23rd's rolling around. Still fine. So, and I'm like, okay, you're smarter than me. That sounds fair. Although I do like my twinkly lights and whatnot. But the truth is, that is our hope. That God would do what he promised to us. The word of Jesus, who calls himself the Alpha and the Omega. What did he say he's going to do with the heavens and the earth? He's going to wipe them away, right? Sounds a lot like that. He's going to literally wipe them all away. And that looks like chaos. So we can say, well, we partially are kind of excited about this, but it's hard to hear what we're waiting for. That's why I say partially, for the absolute and complete destruction of the earth and the heavens. Why? Because sinners cling to fallen and broken things. They despair, or they don't hope for anything better. Of course, that's why God sent Jesus, the Son of God, who promises to come again. After the destruction, the people of the earth will see the Son of Man, the divine human Savior of all mankind, that came into the world for them all, but was received by so few. They will see him coming in clouds, as he promised those apostles. And Ascension Day is one of my favorite, has one of my favorite moments in it. When Jesus tells them, I'll be back. And he goes up into the clouds. And do they go about their lives? No, they don't. They do what 100% of us would do. They were standing there like turkeys going, and their heads are still looking up. And they're not moving, even though Jesus told them, I'll be back. You know, go do the, be the church. Finally, the angels come down and they go, what are you guys doing? Seriously, what are you doing? Didn't he tell you? Trust me, you won't miss it. When he comes, you'll know. And so the church has remembered that ever since then. The angels are like, now shoot, shoot. Do what Jesus told you. Don't stand there gawking. And like a mighty conqueror riding in his chariot of triumph, the former despised Nazarene will reappear with great power and glory, according even to his human nature. He has now assumed the full divine glory and majesty, and now returns as the judge of the living and the dead. In the fullness of his majesty, he will command his angels, he says, to go forth and bring together to him the elect. From their four winds, from every part of the earth, as far as the world extends, wherever human beings have permeated, have been, not the slightest shred of the former lowliness and weakness is evidence in this glorious picture. It is the great, the almighty Lord of the universe that is here holding the great harvest of the last day. Now, the reason why I make a note to say that him in his entire human nature, today is also a very cool day in the church calendar. Does anybody know what today is? December 6th. Cool. This means that you guys are not going to hear any of my jokes. This is great. This isn't a joke. It really is St. Nicholas Day today. The Feast of St. Nicholas, or as we know him, Santa. That's how he got worked into Christmas. People always wonder. They're like, oh no, Germans did that. Well, they invented a lot of things. They didn't invent Santa. He was actually a Christian pastor and bishop in what is now known as Turkey. And he was at the Council of Nicaea because there was a pastor teaching that Jesus wasn't God. His name was Arius. And Arius was teaching people, oh, Jesus is clearly not God, but you should worship him. And now, can you imagine what the question the church is asking at this point? So, out of curiosity, I'll check my Bible. But how many people do we worship? How many gods? How many people are we worshiping? The answer is always one, right? But he's saying, oh, of course, worship God. But we need to worship Jesus, too, because he's like really, really important.
He's up there.
Yeah, he's up there. He's like in the top two. And so when he met with Arius, now this is the Santa Claus my kids were raised with. When he met Arius and Arius got belligerent with Santa, do you know what Santa did? I know my boys know because they grew up with this. He socked him right in the mouth. This is a true historical fact. Santa Claus just got full on rolling up his sleeves and going, pow! And now, of course, they had no patience for this at the Council of Nicaea. Even though he was right, that didn't give him the right to give him his right. So he actually went to jail and they stripped him of his stole. And they took his Bible away from him. You understand, having a Bible then was a huge deal. And part of a bishop's job was to guard it with his life. And they took it from him. And now the rest, I will tell you, is church lore. Everything I said has been proven. The next part is church lore. So, and when we get to St. Lawrence Day, I got another one for you. But, and he was in prison. And he was later let out. But now here's the lore part. While he was sitting there in prison, Jesus and the Virgin Mary showed up. And I'm like, what? And showed up and brought him back his Bible and his stole and placed it on him. And then he walked through the walls and he was set free. And I'm like, nice. But that didn't happen. But it still was a great story. But later he was actually released. That is a thing that he apologized to Arius. I'm not sorry you're a wrong heretic. I'm sorry how I punched you in the mouth. So he forgave him. Arius was still wrong. The end. Because taking that away from us is to take away hope that God didn't really send his only begotten son. Right? So that was what Santa was defending. St. Nicholas. I'll stop calling him Santa because I can see a couple of you are creeped out. But he was defending hope. When you defend the nativity of Jesus, the nativity of God made flesh coming to rescue sinners, you are defending not just some dusty old church doctrine, you are defending hope that no matter what the day brings, I have on the horizon the rescue of Jesus Christ, and today I have that promise. And speaking of promise and hope, listen to this. Verse 28. From the fig tree learn this lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly I say to you that in this generation will not pass until you see these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Here is Jesus teaching another now and not yet lesson. Just out of curiosity, ever since the fall, How many times do you think people went through an entire day without something messed up and sinful happening? And I don't mean major. Oh, okay, Steve knows the answer. Or he's telling me, you're doing okay. Or he means zero. Yeah, zero. Either he's going, good job. Or, sorry, man. Yeah, so how is Jesus not doing the same thing? He's going, how many people are going to live and not see the signs that Jesus is returning? And it's the signs of Jesus returning isn't our wealth and our prosperity. The signs of Jesus returning are people getting more distant and distant and distant from their shepherd. And the shepherd will return to call them home. He's already said that. And so now this hope that we have is, even though we see people getting more distant and more distant from Christ and distancing themselves from even us having a moment with them of comfort in the word of Jesus, but the every day now, and even all the way back then, they're saying you're going to see it now and you're going to see it down the road. See, remember, he's not just saying bad things are going to happen. Bad things are happening. And bad things are going to happen. That's why I'm not telling you guys that, oh, well, clearly, because if you lived during the 80s, you remember that Russia was supposed to be that enemy back in the 80s? And then we watched the wall go, all right, we need a new one. So it was just like, you don't say that, well, it's going to happen next week. You can go, there's a lot of horrible things going over there. And I'm reminded that my hope isn't in that Russian guy. And that hope isn't in that American guy, but my hope is in that Jesus guy, despite what's going on in every country. And so we prepare for the coming of the Lord. The fig tree teaches us this. When its branches become soft and full of sap, and when its leaves sprout, and then you have a sure indication that the entire tree has been affected by the growing warmth, that they know that summertime is near, and at the same degree of watching and drawing conclusions is necessary where the disciples of Christ of all times are concerned. These first pastors had the job of telling people, not knowing that 2023 would ever exist. You guys see this messed up stuff? This isn't our world. This is Satan's world. This is what he is the God. Jesus calls him the God of this world, meaning the God of sinfulness, brokenness, murder, rape, chaos, destruction. That's what he worships and rules. So we shouldn't fall in love with that. What we love are the things of God, the things that bring about order, love, hope, joy, peace. These are all words we fling around this time of year. But those are the things we cling to because the devil wants no part of that. The signs are general, they're special, which the Lord gave the apostles of the near approach of Jerusalem's even doom, ought always be to be in their memory, and they ought to heed their first warning. Even so, the signs in the general and particular that herald the coming of the last day are clearly given in the word of God by Christ himself. There's going to be no excuse. There's no excuse for not knowing about the coming of the judgment and preparing for its advent. And I say this to myself first. James 3:1, not many of you should become pastors, because you know that those of you who do will be judged with a stricter judgment. So my life as a pastor is going to be about bringing, not to be able to bring this to you. And God forbid, if I'm not in all places at all times, you might be there in that place. And you'll have something that is only God's that you can share. And I'm going to spend as long as God will give me to be here bringing that to you. And the Lord added another sign. Verily, I say to you that this generation will not pass away till all this comes to pass, meaning the generation that witnesses this will not pass until Jesus returns. They should remain as a standing testimony and proof of the truthfulness of Christ's words. For as he says with great emphasis, heaven and earth shall pass away. Their physical contents, their elements will be destroyed in the fire on that last day. But his words will not pass away. Amidst the ruin of the worlds and the destruction of the heavens, is his eternal word will stand unchanged as he himself, for it belongs to his essence of who he is. It is eternal. And don't forget, our hope is that this evil will be removed and that Christ, who has already been born in a manger, lived, died, and rose again, will rescue us. So that even tonight, in hope, we say, this is the day the Lord has made. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds in the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now confess our faith as found in our baptismal creed, the Apostles' Creed, and you find it on the very back cover of the hymnal, on the very last on the back cover. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
And Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.